Share a few thoughts this morning as I got to thinking about, of course, Memorial Day and remembering. We preachers have all sorts of fears in our life about not being able to remember certain things. For instance, forgetting a wedding. And I think we do have one this Saturday at 1:30, but Philip's getting married at the Lions Club, right, at 1:30. And so forgetting that I have a wedding and I don't show up, or forgetting a funeral, or one of the worst fears that a pastor has, or at least I have, and I've had these in my dreams, is I'm standing up here and I'm inappropriately dressed. And you know, it's really a frightening thought, and I know that you don't want me to see that way, but you know how it goes when you're in a dream. And so you realize that you're not quite dressed right, and so you run home, and you run really, really slow. I mean, you just take forever to run. I mean, you're just creeping along, and you run back really, really slow. And then when you get back, everybody has gone. The cars are gone. The people are gone. No one's here. And just one of those things that I hope never happens. But anyway, I think about a pastor, young pastor, who was asked to do a funeral of a homeless man. And the funeral director in town had asked him, he was handling the service for him, and they couldn't find and locate any family members, any friends of this young man who had died. And so they prepared for the funeral, and they had the service, but it was going to be a graveside service. And it was at a new cemetery that was actually outside of town. And it was up a long lane, and this man, this homeless man, was the first one to be buried in the cemetery. And I've been to some cemeteries, you know, that's hard to locate. In fact, I've been in funeral processions that have gotten lost going to cemeteries. And I remember one of those was Mrs. Clevenger. What was her first name again? Yeah, Eva Clevenger. I remember we headed off in the wrong direction, and we had to laugh because I know that Eva was back there laughing all the way, you know, as we were trying to find the cemetery. But anyway, the pastor got lost going to the cemetery. Couldn't find it and arrived an hour late. Okay? There was no funeral car, no hearse, no funeral director. The only one there were some people who had a backhoe. And they were eating lunch underneath this shade tree. And so he jumped out of his car and he ran up to the gravesite, and there was the vault. It already had been placed in the ground. The vault had its lid on top. And he said, "Won't take long." And so he began to preach the committal service. And I mean, he really got into it. I mean, he preached all the way from Genesis to Revelation. He preached everything there was. Even the workers were getting in on it. You know, they were saying glory and hallelujah and amen. And the funeral committal was finally done. And he turned and he walked away. And as he was getting into his car, he overheard one of the workers say, "Boy, that's the strangest thing I've ever seen. I've never seen anyone preach at an installation of a septic tank." But you know, we laugh because there are certain things that make us uncomfortable. We just hope that that never happens. But tomorrow is Memorial Day, and it's time for remembering, and memory is a tricky thing. In fact, I would guarantee you that some of you probably have forgotten that old, 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 old joke about the woman who goes and she says, "Sometimes I go to the refrigerator and I can't remember what I've come for." And the other one says, "Well, you know, there's times when I've gone upstairs and I can't remember, am I going up or coming down?" And the third one says, "Well, I'm lucky, I guess I never had that problem. Oh, somebody's at the door, you know." But anyway, you know, we do forget, and that's why Memorial Day is a time for remembering. And I go back to, of course, the spring in 1866, just a short time after the Civil War. The South, of course, had been devastated by the march through the South of Sherman, and there were some widows, some grieving mothers, some wives and children who were making their way down the streets of this devastated city along with their children, and they were going to the cemetery to place flowers at the graves, not only of the Confederate soldiers, but of the Union soldiers. They were going to that grave to not only remember those who had fought in that war that had taken the lives of so many people, but they were also burying their hatred. And tomorrow, of course, is a time for us to come together, and many times we come together, we place those flowers on graves. We don't know why it's in May. I mean, there wasn't really any great battle that happened at this time of the year, but perhaps it's because flowers are in bloom. And so as flowers bloom, we take the flowers to the graves of those that we remember. And it was not only called Memorial Day, but in the older days, it was actually Decoration Day. And yet Decoration Day, for the most part, has been forgotten because in our world today, we think about picnics and barbecues and family events, and sometimes decorating the graves is the last thing in our mind. I think about a Boy Scout troop that was actually asked to place flags at the veterans at the National Cemetery in Long Island. And they were asked, one of the Boy Scouts was asked, "Why are you doing this?" as he was placing flags at the veterans' grave sites. And he says, "Oh, for service hours." You know, we don't place the flags at graves for service hours. We do it for another reason. We do it to remember the life of someone who gave their life for each and every one of us. So today as we come, I think of this verse that that Paul says in the book of Philippians. He says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." And today as we come to remember, I want us to first of all, those whom we owe a debt to. Others have given their lives so that we could be free. We live in a great nation. Even though with all of its quirks and its failures and the problems that we have today, we are able to join together today this worship service here in this sanctuary because we are living in a free country. And this free country has been guaranteed by the lives of many who have gone and served in conflict and war, and many have given their very lives for you and me, you know, as we come and worship today. Now, I think about how it is, you know, that, you know, to honor those people who have died, you know, in military conflicts is not to glorify war. You know, wouldn't it be great if we were able to play together as nations? Wouldn't it be great if we didn't have the jealousy among nations? Wouldn't it be great if we didn't covet each other's properties? But I think about how we live in a sinful, fallen world. The book of Genesis tells us about how we've fallen into sin. And the very first murder was committed in Genesis 4 when Cain and Abel, you know, the conflict arose and one of them were killed. And since then, there's been battles and conflicts. And so why is that happening? Because James says that there's sin in the human heart. We have war and conflict because of the trouble and the trials and the sin and the rebellion that we have in the human heart. And so we battle with one another and we fight with one another because we want to push our ideas, or they want to push their ideas on us, or they want to subject people and oppress people and deny themselves the God-given opportunity to have a free ability to live. I go back to the Civil War and I think about a young Texan who was going off to fight. And he said to his neighbor, he says, "We'll be back in no time at all because we'll beat those Yankees with broomsticks." 4 years later, he returned. He was defeated. He was broken. And the neighbor says, "I thought you was going to defeat those Yankees with broomsticks." And he says, "Well, we could have, except they didn't want to fight with broomsticks." You know, and so what we have is that there's this war that arises among us, and we battle and we have conflicts, and we, even among nations, among individuals, among families, among people that we thought we loved, you know, there's that battle that occurs because of sin in our life. I think about Captain James Key, who was a chaplain during the Afghanistan and Iraqi war. And he says, "One of the most painful experiences is going to a house of a parent or of a spouse and telling them that their spouse or their loved one has died in a military action. They've been killed in action." And he goes on, he says, "War is hell and freedom is expensive." It really is. It costs people their lives. It's not just monetary expense. It's human life that's being lost. War is hell, freedom is expensive, death is painful, and faith still matters, especially to those in the foxhole. And so today we come and remember those who have actually given their lives, you know, on behalf of us, who gather here today to worship because they fought for freedom, they fought for the cause of those who want to live in liberty and experience the justice among all. So we need to remember the debt that we owe. And secondly, we need to remember those who've never worn a uniform, but they have actually died. They've died on behalf of their Christian faith. In the book of Revelation, we have this verse where it says that many of those saints who have perished, they were suffering and they died in the Colosseums. They died from gladiatorial battles. They died, you know, under the persecution of Nero and the emperors. It says they washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And when I was a teenager growing up, there was a magazine that we received every month, and it was from Underground Evangelism. And as I read that magazine, I became enthralled and just, you know, concerned about the lives of many of those. At that time, it was the Soviet Union and communism, you know, atheism. And so here you had all these believers who were being persecuted and being thrown into gulag. And I remember reading about all these individuals. Harlan Popov was one, and he was here in the church here, and he spoke 1 year. you know, because we had him on a Sunday evening. But I think about all those who have been persecuted. I think about even today, while we may not, you know, be persecuted in the way that we would die for our faith and being actually a martyr, you know, my heart breaks because I think about the assault upon Christianity even in our world today. I think about a person who last week, he was a part-time public service worker and a pastor. And he was demanded to surrender his sermons to the state so that they could read him. And then they eventually released him from his job because of the sermon content, because he was preaching. I think of the Bible Club for first graders that was under attack by the freedom from religion. You know, first graders who were being in a club for Bibles, they were being taught Bibles. And some of them were teachers, and this was off hours, okay? And the Bible Club was abandoned. And I think about how it is if those who are teachers cannot share their faith in off hours, when can they share their faith? They're not an employee of the state forever. We have a conviction to a higher one, and that is God. We had the opportunity to visit the Levi Coffin House this past Thursday. And if you've never been there, go visit it. And here's Levi Coffin. He said there was a higher power, and that higher power is God. And while there was all sorts of things that were saying, you know, you can't help a slave, he felt, you know, God has demanded that I step in the gap and that I help those individuals who are oppressed to gain freedom. And so there is that higher power. But I think about Peter Hamilton, who was a Scotsman, 24 years of age, burned at the stake. Polycarp, an 84-year-old bishop, who was demanded to recant his faith, and he said, I've served him for 84 years. I can't give up my Christ now. Shang Shu, who was arrested and beaten by the police in China because he was hosting a house church. Trappist monks who were killed by the Algerian ISIS groups. And just this past week, what do we have? We find 28 Coptic Christians who are murdered by Muslims as they make their way to a monastery to worship. Javier Gonzalez, while he was not martyred for the faith, you know, his wife has been threatened, his house church and his church of 130 people have been under attack and under assault because he dares to preach Christ. Jim Elliott, Nate Saint, all those individuals, you know, who have died, who have perished because they've dared to stand on behalf of their Savior, Jesus Christ, and say, there's a higher power, there is a God, there is a Christ, and he is the way. And today, the persecuted church exists, and we need to pray for them, and we need to remember them because they are individuals who have given their lives for the cause of their Savior. We may be in that position at some time, I don't know. Then thirdly, we need to remember those who have died and passed on from our lives. Again, Memorial Day means to remember. And I always encourage people, you know, who have lost loved ones to remember the character, to remember the life, to remember the dinners, to remember the celebrations, to remember they're a part of our lives. And we've had so many people from our church and from our congregation, our family, who've passed on. I go back and I think about those not only this past year, but of years past who have passed on. Friends, listen to me. They're not absent this morning. And I've said this hundreds of times, and I'll say it 100 more times. They're part of that triumphant church, the church triumphant for Jesus Christ. And as we sing songs today, they also encircle us as that cloud of witnesses, and they sing with us. We didn't just sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms by ourselves this morning. Couldn't you hear the saints above singing with you this morning? They were singing. I think about a story that was told by Pat Williams, who was a former vice president for the Orlando Magic, which is an NBA basketball team. And Pat Williams shares a story about Walter, who was a pastor, but when he was in high school, he fell in love or became attracted to this young girl. Her name was Myrtis. And here was Walter, and he got the gumption, or he got bold enough to actually write Myrtis a letter saying, Myrtis, I'd love to walk you home from school today, but I've got to clean the teacher's erasers first. And Myrtis wrote him back and said, well, Walter, you know, I've got to get home. But she says, I'll walk slowly. Obviously, she didn't care whether or not Walter caught up with her. 64 years later, Myrtis was the first one to pass. But on her deathbed, she says, Walter, she says, I'm going to pass and I'm going to go be with my Lord Jesus in heaven soon. But Walter, I'll walk slowly. And you know, those of our loved ones who've passed on, they're walking slowly, and someday we will meet them again face to face as we worship around that throne and praise our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, those saints have passed on. We have a hope as believers this is not the end of the law. We have a hope in Jesus because the Bible says very simply, those who live and believe in Jesus, even though they die, what? They shall live. This life is not all there is. We have a hope of a life eternal that lasts forever. And we will be with them and we will be with our Lord Jesus Christ. And then last of all, we remember the Lamb who was slain. The Lamb who was slain. I've always said this. Memories are only as good as a foundation upon which they're built. Memories are only as good upon which the foundation upon which they're built. And if our memories are not anchored in the one who gave his all for us, our memories are futile, our memories are passing. But when we have a memory that's anchored in the one who gave his life for us, then that memory lasts forever because Jesus Christ is the one who's guaranteed us life eternal. Rosemary Brown was a pastor, and she says when she was in high school, she was encouraged to take Latin because Latin would open up all the other languages. How many of you took Latin in high school? Well, praise God, I didn't take it, you know? I didn't want to take it. I took another route. I took the industrial arts, drafting, engineering, and things of that nature. Latin, nah. But, you know, Latin's opened up a whole arena because when you know Latin, you know a lot of different words. You know a lot of different languages. So praise God, you know Latin, but I don't know about you. Rosemary Brown says, I took Latin and I learned how to conjugate the verbs. I learned how to read the classics. And I learned how to even speak sort of like a Roman orator. But after all these years of being out of high school, I don't remember any Latin except three words. I came, I saw, I conquered. How many of you remember all of your Latin except for three words? And the three significant words, I came, I saw, I conquered. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He was born in this world as a small babe. He walked the dusty roads of Galilee, caused the blind to see and the lame to walk. He delivered those who were bound by demonic powers. He went to a cross. He carried your sin, my sin. He did for me what I could not do for myself. He was buried in that grave. He rose again on the third day. And because he lives, I shall also live. He came, he saw, and he conquered. Hebrews says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. Because of his sacrifice, we have a hope that endures. He conquered sin, he conquered death, he conquered hell, he conquered the devil. Praise God, we have a hope. Amen? I go back and I think about James Dungy. James Dungy was the son of Tony Dungy. He committed suicide. I also think about the son of Rick and Kay Warren who committed suicide. Suicide is devastating to a family. You have all sorts of questions that we don't have any answers to. And don't judge a person who's committed suicide because you never know what it is they're going through. Only God knows. But James Dungy took his life. Of course, Tony Dungy and his wife and family had to work through all of that. Upon his return to the organization, which was the Indianapolis Colts at the time, because he was the coach, he spoke to the organization and he said very simply this, because of my faith in Christ, I've been able to endure this. Because of my faith in Christ, I have a faith in Christ, I've been able to make it through. And you know, the only way we can make it through the loss of a loved one, the only way that we can make it through the death of someone who served for our military, the only one that we can make it through, you know, a persecuted member, is because we have a faith in Christ, a Jesus who's come, a Jesus who saw our plight, a Jesus who's walked with us through the valleys, through the difficult times, through the shadows of death, who's experienced the pain and the agony with us. He came, he saw, and he conquered. That's why we have the hope. That's why we can remember. That's why we can put flowers at the grave, because we realize, yes, we remember them, we honor them, we salute them, but we also look up into heaven. I always encourage people at the gravesite, don't look to the ground, look up into the heavens, because that's where our loved one is, with the triumphant church, worshiping the Lamb who was slain, worshiping the one who's given his all so that we could have life. We shed tears and we weep, but we have a joy in our heart because we grieve as those who have a faith. And that's the problem in the agony that you experience when you have a service for somebody and they have no relationship with the Lord. Because the only way that they can grieve is to say, is this the end of it all? As Christians, we gather together, we weep, but we say this is not the end of it all. It's only the beginning. It's only the beginning. Walter, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with Jesus, but I'll walk slowly. And so tomorrow we remember those who've given their lives. We remember those who've given their lives for the sake of Christ. We remember those who have passed on from our families. And we remember most of all the one upon whose life we build, the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope, our Redeemer, our Lord, and our Savior forever and ever and ever and ever. That's why we celebrate. That's why we remember. Precious Lord, we thank you and we praise you that you're a God who loves us, a God who holds us, a God who walks with us. And Lord, we miss those who've gone on before, but Lord, we grieve with a hope. We grieve with a faith that enables us to endure. We know that, Lord Jesus, you have truly conquered all for us. You've given us eternal life in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, as we come together to remember today, we praise your holy name. When we all get to heaven, Lord, what a joy and what a rejoicing it's going to be. Because there we're going to stand face to face with our Savior Jesus Christ. And we're going to rejoin those who've passed on before us. Father, we give you praise. Thank you for the hope. In Jesus' name, amen.